Oh, Bill Burns, you are so prompt.
Well, of course, LaFern Cusack. I would never keep a lady waiting.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you for asking.
When I saw you,
being the other us in the us.
Yes.
What's going on in your corner of the world?
Man, I was just talking about how I feel like things are actually working and looking up, and like people are actually taking accountability for their actions and what they're doing. And also, the people that aren't doing it, people are calling them out on their victimhood, which I know you love that word, Bill.
I do. I think it's a fabulous word. Do you really?
Do you feel a shift in the energy?
Well, I think what I've noticed is that with the current political climate going on, that there is more dialogue and conversation than I ever remember. People are talking to each other. They're speaking out. People on opposite sides are working together when they're against something. You've got a whole major section of a Republican Congress joining with Democrats on certain issues. So I'm beginning to see more of a dialogue between people that promises to get things done at some point. And, you know, when you take responsibility for your part in something, things go quickly.
Right. And you can definitely tell the people that are putting the blame, I guess, putting the blame on other people instead of, you know, working together. I think that's just not working anymore. I remember going to one of your lectures like years ago, and you're saying that it's time where people are not going to put up with bad behavior anymore.
Yeah, I think our tolerance for that is shrinking. There's something, there's a word I came across, and it's been used for years. And it suddenly occurred to me what an awful word it is. And that word is tolerance.
Why is that?
You hear the museum of tolerance. You hear be tolerant of other people. You hear, you know, tolerance is a virtue. Tolerance means putting up with. I think a much better word would be understanding.
Yeah.
Understand where somebody's coming from. Allow the differences. Learn from them where possible. Move away from them where they, you know, interfere with your perspective. I think it's understanding toward which we have to move. And personal responsibility plays right into that. Because it says, if you're going to be in judgment about somebody, what have you done to understand them?
Okay. Yeah, you just answered my own question, because I'm like, well, what about, you know, they say that the freedom, now I forgot the name of it, the Republicans, the
freedom
unwilling
caucus.
To compromise. Yes, they're unwilling to negotiate, unwilling to change their minds. How do you work with people that don't have the willingness to even hear any other thing?
Well, as I recall, they joined with the Democrats to make sure that Trump care didn't pass. So sometimes you don't actually have to agree with each other to work toward a goal that isn't acceptable to either one of you. You know, I think everybody is different, and everybody has a different viewpoint, and everybody is entitled to their own viewpoint and a deep belief in it. I just get upset when their viewpoint refuses or maybe unable to understand somebody else's. But when I'm dealing with personal responsibility for self, I can take responsibility before judging someone else to find out what makes them tick and why they believe that way. And then my decision as to whether to interact with them or not is based on understanding, not to depersonalize them and hate them.
I have a friend I've currently met who's she's a Republican. She's all for Trump. She's all for, you know, everything that I don't believe in. And she's constantly telling me, well, that's my belief. That's my belief. And I put it aside because I'm like, okay, I understand. You know, that's her belief. Well, I have another belief. So it's like, okay, well, someone asked me, well, why are you still friends with them?
Because there's a lot more to her than her belief.
Yes.
And why would you rob yourself of the experience of being a friend just because you disagree on certain items? That's ignorance.
Exactly. I wouldn't be talking to anybody. Oh, thank you. I wouldn't be talking to anybody if, you know, I didn't agree or I had some disagreement with them. You know what I mean?
Well, right. We're in disagreement in some way or another with everybody. Most people don't discover it until after they marry each other, but I guess that's another story. I thought you said that you were going to. I thought, oh, dear.
Oh, my. Yeah.
I know. There's another pile of worms, right?
Well, a lot of people go into marriage with false expectations, thinking that they can change someone or it's going to be different or, you know, I can't believe that people are still going in to marriages thinking that it's going to change somehow or make their life even better.
Well, I think men go into marriages thinking they can accept the woman because they love her. Women go into marriages because they think they can change the man to their liking.
Yeah.
And when she realizes he's not going to change, she blames him for not changing, not taking responsibility on herself, for saying, oh, I married somebody I wasn't compatible with in that area, and I expected them to change, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Have we created enough trouble yet?
I think you're going to get a lot of mail. What the heck?
No, we're 10 minutes into the show.
You're already dogging out the women. How could you say that, Bill? That's absurd.
That's right.
That is absurd.
But it's true. And in some cases, it's blatant, and in some cases, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that every woman thinks that way, but what I'm saying is that whenever I deal with clients where there's a marital disharmony,
mm-hmm.
her complaint is always that he didn't turn out the way she thought he should. Or he shouldn't have changed it. He should have changed his view on this. Or I don't know why he doesn't step up and agree with me. His complaint is, she always gets mad at me when I disagree with her or have a different view.
Mm.
I'm becoming intimately connected with the sofa. We may bring in the dry cleaning company soon. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Anyway, I don't know. Thank God I've avoided that trap.
I know that well, let me speak of this one particular incident that their partner was raised with a narcissistic mother, and uh-huh. they knew about this going in and knew, you know, there are some things that they have to do together to grow out of that environment or to grow
right.
out of the thought patterns that he was subjected to as a child.
Right.
But that's a whole life of training. You know, you could still be
right.
in your 40s and 50s and still react to things. Because,
mm-hmm.
How long did you stay with your parents in this, you know, narcissistic environment?
Well, that's
true.
On the other hand, they were with their parents when they were impressionable and believed everything they heard and built their whole life around what they believed. And now they're discovering it's not working. And I think one of the signs of love is that somebody knows that the problem exists. The man and woman both agree that that's a problem and that they love each other to be willing to help each other work it out.
Right.
That's a different story.
Yes.
That's a partnership issue.
Yeah.
And I think with every partnership issue, as in business, we have to think that some of them may not work even with the best of efforts.
Right.
But
when it does come to business and you've invested all the money into, you know, the business and making things work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that that person that's your partner, you don't want to throw everything away, throw it out the door because of a disagreement. Like, how do you get through those tough times? Like, oh my God, I made the biggest mistake of my life trusting this person, and I'm in it.
Well, you could come for a reading, or there are business coaches.
Mm-hmm.
There are consultants. Where they can sit down and look at the situation. But if one partner is not willing to look at the situation, there are legal remedies available.
Yeah.
As there are in marriages that don't work.
Right.
Except in business, they're not heavily weighed in favor of one partner or the other.
Yeah.
Where they're in marriage.
Yeah. I know that... Some people I know, Bill, that their life is maybe, you know, a little offhand, and they go, oh, I'm going to become a self-help person. And I look at them, I'm like, you need the help yourself. How can you help someone when you're not even willing to help someone, help yourself, you know?
I know. Is there time for a little more turmoil?
Exactly.
It's law, at least in California, that if you're a therapist, you have to have a therapist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no social comment on that except the obvious. And it's one of the few laws with which I truly agree, but whatever.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. And you have to use them.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a requirement to how often you see them and so on.
Because every day you're listening to other people's problems, and sometimes you have to, is it that thinking that sometimes you have to let your problems out to someone else?
I don't know. I didn't write the law. I might be a little less charitable in my decision as to why it makes sense, but and you know, I understand that there are a great many excellent therapists out there, and there are a great many therapists that are out there because they really want to make a difference. The two don't necessarily go together. Not every therapist that really wants to make a difference is a good therapist, but
so you have to do your homework.
But that's true of every profession. I'm not wanting to pick on therapists. It's true of the medical profession. It's true of, you know, psychics. God knows it's true of psychics. And, you know, you really have to go by the evidence and go into these things with a reasonable expectation, and don't change it if you're not getting what you had hoped for.
Yes. Yeah. And that goes back to, personal accountability.
Personal responsibility for self.
Oh, you taught me so well.
You too. You've learned really.
Oh my God.
It's true. I mean, we blame this and blame that. Oh, my God. It takes so much longer to blame somebody to cover your own shortcoming than it does to admit the fault and move on.
Or to get back to the headlines, ask for immunity to be able to tell your truth. I want immunity.
And then get a vaccination.
Do you think they really hear? Right. Do you think they really hear the words that are coming out of their mouths, or is it all for show? Because what they said before, they're flipping on. Well, like, for instance, Mike Flynn is like, if you ask for immunity, you have to be guilty. And he said that last year.
Yeah.
And then now he's asking for immunity.
And
you know what I mean?
Justify.
Yeah.
And his boss, or soon to be ex-boss, is saying it's a conspiracy of the Democrats.
Right.
He's being asked to testify.
That's just...
Well, to answer your question... The less spiritually developed a person is, the less vision conceptual ability and vision they have. So some people really cannot see the flaw in what they say. And no matter how much is explained to them, they truly can't see it. They're not being stubborn. They truly can't understand it. The trouble is, if you understand it and you're trying to explain it to them, you can't understand it if you understand it, why they don't. Because it doesn't occur to you that they may not be as developed as you are and therefore not able to understand it. And there's a way around that, but it's a one-on-one solution. It's not something you can just put in place. And society's grown away from one-on-one solutions. But the solution is to ask the other person to explain their viewpoint, and that will give you an insight into what they might be willing to understand if you were to present it.
Explain your viewpoint.
Yeah, because in explaining their viewpoint or why they believe that way or why they act that way, they're going to let you know what they don't see. And then that gives you an opportunity to say, ah, I truly understand what you're saying. How would you explain this? You know, and then go into the point you're trying to make. And sometimes you can get some movement and sometimes not. But it is really the case that what most people get impatient with in other people is not an unwillingness on the other person's part. is an inability to see the point or see the argument or see the answer, and therefore are unwilling to act on it.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I truly don't think that Nixon thought he was doing anything wrong. I truly don't think O.J. Simpson believes he did anything wrong. Because people can be so self-justified that they can put their rationalizations ahead of evidence.
But that's when the problem comes in.
Not that we're going to solve it this afternoon, but it's a good idea for people. You know, and for our listeners, you know, we're putting these things out because I guess we believe them, but also to get people thinking. You know, we're not a show I don't think you tune into to get comfortable.
No, definitely not.
Although I'm very comfortable. But that's because you're not working with Laverne, and I am. And that's the whole difference right there. I mean, she went way out of her way after a whole day of work to bring me a very nice dinner just because I had been homebound because of the operation. So, I mean, that's the kind of people I work with. But there that is. And, you know, because she's so generous in doing that, it's easy for me to be truly grateful. Because I think receiving is part of understanding. Remember the tolerance thing?
Yes.
Because some people tolerate other people's doing things for them.
Yeah.
Because there's no understanding of why the other person is doing it for them, so there's no gratitude. But why'd you do that? Well, because I love you. That isn't an excuse. Isn't that claw, Gertrude? You know. And you know, that's an understanding, I think, is critical. I think it's something, if we're going to be responsible for ourselves and our own behavior, I think a willingness to try to understand other people has to be part of that.
But what about the flip side? Like, I was reading, you know, those things that come up in Facebook and Twitter, and I read this one about this person that was so sad, and she had all the money in the world, but she was still sad, and she saw this poor woman working, and she was happy, and she asked her why she was happy, and she was like, because I give, I help people, and in that giving, I'm happy. So in the receiving and understanding why you're receiving gifts and understanding why the other person is giving, is there something in the giving as well to help people get out of a state of depression and lack of happiness?
Sure. My attitude is a lot of depression is unused adrenaline. And that adrenaline is created by misery and unhappiness and selfishness and resentment and bitter behavior. Mm-hmm. And generosity of spirit and giving is the opposite. But whether it's a 12-step program or a religious person who gives because they love to give and help, yes, it creates a lot of happiness. Some people have to do it in their life as part of their spiritual learning lesson, and some people do it to stay grateful for what they have.
Mm.
But yes, reaching out and helping other people is terrific, but it's also a good idea if you're going to do that to reach for an understanding of that other person. Otherwise, you become somebody who's conditional giver. I'll give you this if you do that.
Oh,
that's called parenting sometimes. And you know what I'm saying? And
I've never done that.
You know, and why did you do this after I did that for you? Well, I didn't know it was contingent. Why didn't you tell me you were trying to buy me? I wouldn't have accepted. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, but by and large, giving to others always brings some happiness. But never give to people who aren't trying. Listener alert.
Yeah.
Never help people who aren't trying. You'll be wasting your effort. It'll make you resentful in the long run. And all it'll do is make you tired.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was talking to my friend. I was like, look, you know, I will do anything for you if you have the willingness to help yourself. But if I'm saying to you, okay, let's you know, go to a meeting or let's do this, and okay, well, let's see how we can change this, and it's like, no. I'm like, the third time, okay, cool, I'm out.
Yep, out of here.
I am out.
Yep, absolutely. And the better for it, because it makes room for people who are willing to try.
Oh, my goodness, yes, it does.
Enabling is not sharing, it's controlling.
Mm-hmm.
When people, whether it's a parent, a spouse, or who it is enabling somebody, they're first failing their obligation as a friend, a parent, a lover. And two, they're building up leverage to try to control the behavior of the other person, which almost always winds up, of course, in dissatisfaction.
Huh.
And sadly, some of them don't get it. I was talking to a client of mine who hires people.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, a woman called her and said, I'm so-and-so's mother, and I'm filling out her employment application, and I don't understand this question. Can you help me?
Oh, no.
Hey, what did they say? 45% of all people over the under the age of 35 who are adults still live with their parents, and the parents approve of it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with getting a little help now and again, but that's not what you're saying.
At 35, when you don't know how to fill out an employment application?
Oh, Lord.
No, there's a whole generation of people who think they shouldn't have to work. Their parents should take care of them, and the parents are happy to do so.
I know.
There are kids that don't know how to work on a team because they've never been allowed to play a team sport because they may get hurt or disappointed or upset.
That's very disappointing. Yeah.
I
know we talked about helicopter parents before, but I didn't realize how vast, how much you know, that the kids growing up now are. It's like, well, I believe the children are our future, but not with a lot of children that are codependent or not willing to stand on their own feet.
If you really want to see this play out, honey, go on Yahoo Comments.
Oh,
on a news story where a parent has stood up for themselves or stood up to their child. And look at the comments at how many parents think it's horrible that the parent stood up to the child.
Yeah.
I mean, it's appalling. Yeah.
It is.
And I don't know. I guess we're headed to perdition or something.
Well, yeah, but I do also know, I was thinking about, you know, my son and what a privilege it is for me to be his mom and to provide him with a healthy thought pattern, or so he knows what healthy relationships are, you know. He has an example of that.
And I assume it includes their word no.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that, Davey.
Yeah.
No, that isn't appropriate.
Yep.
You go to your room and you think about it.
Yep. He's been going to his room a lot lately.
Yeah. But, you know, over time, it sinks in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and parenting is a process of patience and consistency. You know, I had one temper tantrum in my life.
Oh.
I think I was 4. We weren't putting kids in school at 1 in those days. So I was about 4, and I was having a temper tantrum in the middle of the living room floor in this apartment we were living in. And my mother said, well, figure out what you're going to do about it. And she went out and closed and locked the door. And she went next door to the neighbors and they had tea.
Mm-hmm.
By the time she came back, temper tantrums were history in my life.
Yeah.
Never had another. Now, look at all the controversy that'll stir up.
I know.
Oh, you're going to give him a sense of abandonment. You're going to give him, no, it gave me a sense of having been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's different and everybody requires different methodology, but I'm sorry, if you know, spirituality, have we got a minute for this?
Yes.
Spirituality is about you. It's about you learning what you came here to learn. Everybody else in your life is a learning opportunity. You never have the right to sacrifice your well-being for somebody else unless it's part of a heroic learning. Now, parents have children to learn from them, to set an example, to model behavior, to set boundaries, and to learn from the difference that is the child, not squelch it. What do you want to be when you grow up, Johnny? I want to dance. I want to be a dancer. Johnny, boys aren't dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Find something else you'd like to do when you grow up. That's manipulative parenting. That's not really parenting.
Yeah.
Parenting is to say, oh, where did you see that? What did you like about it? What was exciting to you? Lillian, you want to run a crane? Fabulous. Let's go down to the construction site and talk to some of the people that run them.
Mm-hmm.
That's parenting.
Yeah.
It's seeing the uniqueness in your child and feeding it, whether it agrees with what you think or not. Sometimes the child will grow out of it. And sometimes they'll be tickled to death for the support.
I think a lot of parents are just freaking scared to death. like, oh my God, I'm going to do something wrong. I have to do this. I have to do that. Like, there was
you
this
know,
one woman at my school that my son's school, she's a wreck.
What you right about?
If she's worried that her son is falling behind in the school, in preschool, and he has to go to kindergarten next, and she doesn't think he's going to be prepared for kindergarten. And
what's his teacher think?
Say that one more time.
What's his teacher think?
Oh, that I don't know.
And maybe she should ask the teacher who's qualified
mm-hmm.
to make that decision. And if it is true, then the parents shouldn't be horrified by it. They should be challenged to find a way to help the child grow.
Right.
It will work for him.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of assist the child programs out there. Some of them are very expensive. But you've heard of these. You send them to this school for tutoring, or this school for improving their reading, or
mm-hmm.
that process for rebalancing their mind, and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of ways to help a child, but first of all, you have to be willing to see that something's wrong.
Yes.
And for a parent, that means seeing the evidence and discussing it with a professional, not making a snap fear judgment.
Right. Out of fear.
Snap fear judgment.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a lot I don't know about parenting. I mean, I don't know. I've never done it before, but, you know, I think, you know, I was talking to Bill the other day saying, you know, we just got to be there. We're present. We got to be present. And,
right.
you know, we'll learn together.
Firm, fair, direct, and consistent.
Yeah.
And loving by doing those things.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and you have to do something and your child isn't thrilled about it, then it's a learning lesson for the child.
Yeah. Well, how would you say to put those type of being loving and consistent with the people around you that are not thinking your views, like, you know, like Mr. Flynn, General Flynn, you know, or Trump, or, you know, all these politics and the people that are going around.
Encourage him to pursue his beliefs and let him grow into the man he needs to be. But before we leave the subject of children,
okay,
the idea that they're born innocent and moldable is crap.
Yes.
The child is a fully developed spirit in a fledgling body. There are nasty children born. There are evil children born. There are uncontrollable children born, and the parents can't take responsibility for that. If you've been given a child, or if you've had a child who is well-disciplined and so on, that's to the child's credit, not the parents.
Mm-hmm.
But to blame a parent for bad behavior on the part of their child, some children just are not controllable.
Yes, yeah.
And so the parent probably has done everything that parent can do to find out how to get help.
Mm-hmm.
But just because the child's annoying you doesn't mean you have to beat up on the parent.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
You know, every parent's
that...
had a child have a temper tantrum in public. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
you
God,
know, anyone that
yes.
doesn't understand that is a spinster or a bachelor.
I know. So there was this one child that my son was hanging out with, right? And I saw this child. I was like, that child, you know, he's, what, 3-4 years old? that child is bad news. Like, I literally saw two people in that boy. And
right.
Davey came home the other day, and Bill says, hey, did you play with such and such? He goes, no. He's like, oh, why not? He says, because he left his head. We're like, what?
Wow.
He left out of his head. He wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't play with them. And I turned to Bill and I said, see, I told you. Oh, my
but
God.
On the other hand, Davey told you.
Yes, yes.
Even at his current age, he's able to tell.
Yes. Isn't that something?
And in a case where there are two personalities, of course, that's a different issue. But the fact that he can see it and refuses to play with the one he doesn't like, you know, is amazing.
I know.
With great judgment and maturity.
But so should we keep him away from him? Because that
well,
little boy
like
is
he's
scary.
He's keeping himself away from him.
Yeah, that's true. Isn't that something, though?
Yeah, that's amazing. Really amazing.
Yeah.
And kids are pretty smart.
No,
they really only get in
went...
trouble when their parents question their decisions. But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't do that. You should do that. Why are you not nice to him? I think you should go on and, you know, please, let
mm-hmm.
them work it out. They work it out now. They won't be fighting over millions of dollars in a boardroom, unable to reach
yes.
consensus. Let them learn. Somewhere people get the idea that living is about knowing the answers. Not.
Yeah.
Spirituality is about finding the answers by trial and error.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which means we'll make a lot of mistakes.
Yes. But it does make your life much easier. I mean, since I've started
mm-hmm.
doing that, it's so much more freeing. It's like, okay.
And
well,
it's more fun.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Let me try this. If it works great,
mm-hmm.
if it doesn't work, I'll have learned a lot.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wow.
And we have a lot of things to guide us. We have our gut feelings. We have our life experience. We have a lot to go on to decide to take the jump or make the risk.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody comes to me and they're older, not than me, nobody's older than me, but they come to me and they're older and they say that they regret not having taken this direction or that direction. Most of the time, it's because somebody talked them out of it.
Yeah.
Or made them afraid to take the risk.
Yes.
How would you like to take the responsibility for having done that? No matter how good your intentions.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I do. Absolutely. I don't want to be
That's
that
That's why
person.
I say never ask somebody for advice.
Mm-hmm.
Because people giving advice are telling you what they want you to do so they'll like you. If you want to know how to make a decision, ask somebody for their experience in a similar situation.
Mm,
and then you'll
yeah.
have something you can use.
Love that.
The advice and opinions are all about manipulating people to do what you want them to do.
Yeah.
And punishing them with disfavor if they don't do it. I mean, who the hell do you think you are? God? God wouldn't do that. God, as you understand him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This show isn't about answers, by the way, people. It's about thinking.
Yes. I have
you
a
know,
lot to think
the
about.
Friend and I something to think about.
Oh, most definitely. Oh.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
Well, thanks.
This is why we do it, you think?
Yeah, it is fun. I enjoy you. I enjoy talking to you.
Oh, and you're just a wonderful support and help and contributor and great. And I think your resolution with that friend that thinks differently politically,
mm-hmm.
I think is wonderful.
Hmm.
If Michelle Obama can get along with Ivanka Trump.
Yeah.
There's no reason you two can't get along.
You're right.
And they do genuinely like each other.
That's nice.
Yeah. Of course, nobody knows what they want for things, but, you know.
Yes. I hear all the podcasts are up on your website as well, BillBurns.org.
That's correct. The podcasts are up there. You can listen to them, download them, dance to them, throw rotten tomatoes at them, but remember it's your computer. And we love having you call in, write in, and Miss LaFern is the person that catches all the tosses you throw.
Yes.
And we love hearing from you.
Yeah. So thanks again for sharing our show with us, featuring us.
Because we love you.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.